Father, we thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work of the Spirit in our hearts. Revelation knowledge is gifted every one of us in class today. I pray that as we study, the glorious light of the gospel shines in our minds. Thank you for equipping your people and empowering your people to fulfill the mandate of Christ and to walk in the will and in the purpose of God for their lives. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, our vision is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. That's a vision that keeps us going, and we're always excited to spend time and share and bring light to our understanding. I want to quickly give us a recap of week 7, which is the reality of our righteousness. The reality of our righteousness. Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Your faith can only be effective to the degree of the knowledge of God's word that you have. It is not about how long you have been saved. This somebody can be saved for many years and he has not grown in knowledge, he has not grown in insight, and he has not grown in the depth of Christ. Brother Paul will say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible is a complete material and does not require additional material. Like I've always said, if a pastor is going to preach and he's depending on extra biblical materials to preach his message, he's not preaching the gospel. I remember back in the days, many years ago, when we want to preach, we'll go and look for motivational books and copy very powerful, punchy key points. And then look for scriptural verses that support those kind of thoughts. Plug them out of context and back it and just preach. People will be excited and say, wow, that message was powerful. But looking back now, you know, I realize we're just preaching nonsense. And that's why the people under us never grew spiritually. They remain constant babes and infants in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know, some will start with the Bible and end up with experiences. They will quote some verses, then they will give you a lot of stories to back those few scriptures they have quoted. A message of 1 hour, a pastor will only quote 3 verses of scripture, or even one, just one, and just stay there for 1 hour. I wonder what the man has to say that is from him that the Bible cannot supply. Any vision, any testimony, any experience that doesn't line up with the Bible must be discarded. Any vision, any testimony, any experience that doesn't line up with the Bible must be discarded. A man of God is a man of God to the degree to where he preaches from the written word. A man of God is a man of God to the degree to where he preaches from the written word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8 to 10, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So salvation comes by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them good works. There is nothing to boast about in your salvation. The scriptures remain our evidence. There is nothing to boast about in salvation. Recall, Christianity is not what you do. Christianity is what Christ has done that has been received. What Christ has done that has been received. So Christianity is Christ's work. Christianity is Christ's work. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Observe the riches of his grace. So the forgiveness of sin is a byproduct of the riches of his grace. Forgiveness doesn't come because of you. Forgiveness comes because of the grace of God demonstrated in Christ. The grace of God demonstrated in Christ. Romans 3:25, whom God has sent for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Righteousness is not something that you get based on something that you do. Righteousness is not something that you get based on something that you have done or something that you do. Righteousness to God is to be able to stand before God without blame. Righteousness means God will find no fault. God will find no fault. God will find no blame, and God will find no guilt with you. God will find no fault, no blame, and no guilt with you. Righteousness is to stand with God, to be without blame before God. Righteousness is a free gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 70. Righteousness is a free gift. It is by faith. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17, Romans 5, 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. I know you already have these lectures, but I just want to recap this today before I proceed to the next class. Righteousness is the condition of being blameless and guiltless before God. The condition of being blameless and guiltless before God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 19. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 25. Whom God has set for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What he's saying is that what God did to make us righteous was not like an area boy, for those of you in Nigeria, it was not like an area boy or an illegal operation. what Jesus did to justify us, or what God did to justify us, he did it in a way that he can be seen to be just. He did not break protocol. He did not cut corners. He went through the whole process of justifying a sinner so that he can be seen to be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 22 of that Romans chapter 3 where we looked at, it says, this righteousness is by faith of Jesus, by faith of Jesus to all that believe. Righteousness therefore comes to us by grace. We receive it by faith. All the Jews knew that Abraham was a righteous man, and he did not merit one to be called right. If you read Romans chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, it talks about Abraham being righteous, not works, but he believed on him that justified the ungodly, and his faith was counted for righteousness. If righteousness is a function of your conduct, then it is not grace. It is something that you earned or something that you deserved. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 says, Abraham was justified by faith. He was not called righteous based on his performance. The basis of our righteousness today is in Christ. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. On the basis of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, are we justified? I'm justified. I am declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus. So I am a righteous man. I am a righteous man. The evidence is in the scriptures. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Romans 5:17-19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In verse 19, he says, you are made righteous by the obedience of Jesus. By the obedience of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17-21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 19 says, God is not counting men's sins against them. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Verse 21, for he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are in him today as the righteousness of God. Say with me very boldly, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been declared righteous by faith. Faith in the work that Jesus did. Please note that righteousness is a gift. It's something you did not work for. Righteousness is a gift. It is something you did not work for. Romans 5:17. Number two, righteousness is a nature. It does not change. It never changes. What changes is our righteousness consciousness. That is what changes. Our righteousness consciousness. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So righteous consciousness is by knowledge. By knowledge. Righteous consciousness is the cure for sin. Is the cure for sin. Jesus, who became sin for us, had made us righteous by his blood. We now not only have access to God, but God also has access to us without inhibition. Where is righteousness in Christ Jesus? Therefore, today we stand as the righteousness of God in Christ, without guilt, without fear, without sin consciousness. And the assignment we gave was explain the basis of your righteousness. All right? We're looking at the reality of our authority in the name of Jesus. The reality of our authority in the name of Jesus. And that's today's course. The reality of our authority in the name of Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, 15 and 16. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So the scriptures we just read speaks of the name of Jesus. Names are given to identify people with. Names are given to identify people with. In the Bible, name speaks of who a person is. Who a person is. Either based on what he is to do, either based on what he is to do, or the circumstance surrounding his existence. Or the circumstance surrounding his existence. For example, Moses means drawn from the Nile. Drawn from the Nile. Peter means stone. Peter means stone. Jesus means savior or deliverer. Savior or deliverer. Now, Jesus was anointed of the Spirit. Jesus was anointed of the Spirit when John baptized him. When John baptized him. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why was Jesus anointed? Why was Jesus anointed? Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The anointing on Jesus was to heal the sick. It was to heal the sick and all that were oppressed of the devil. It was heal the sick and all that were oppressed of the devil. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say. See that? Then verse 17 of Luke chapter 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Jesus gave his disciples his name to cast out demons and heal the sick. They could do this because Jesus' name speaks of who he is. Anointed of the Spirit. Anointed of the Spirit. So he gave them the right to use to the use of his name. He gave them the right to the use of his name. What Jesus could do, his name could do as much. What Jesus could do, his name could do as much. That name was the name of the anointed one. That name was the name of the anointed one. That name was the name of the anointed one. Upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he obtained a name because of his redemptive work. Upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he obtained a name because of the redemptive work. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Don't worry, I'm not raptured. I'm still here. Jesus hasn't come. We have work to do here. Wherefore God has also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. Oh, hallelujah. He has obtained a more excellent name than they. Question, how does the believer partake in the authority of Jesus? How does the believer partake in the authority of Jesus? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He is raised and sits together with and in Christ at the right hand of the Father. That's the believer. The believer is raised and sits together with and in Christ at the right hand of the Father. Right hand is not right side. Right hand refers to authority. The believer is seated at the authority of the Father. The believer is seated at the authority of the Father. The believer is identified with Christ Jesus. Identified with Christ Jesus. He belongs to the family of God. He belongs to the family of God. He therefore has access to that name, the name of Jesus, which is a family name. The name of Jesus, which is a family name. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, hallelujah, with the saints and of the household of God. All of us are fellow citizens of the household of God. So if God is drinking tea with one person, he must drink tea with all of us, because we are all fellow citizens with the household of God. God cannot drink tea with one person and leave the rest of us without breakfast. I hope that is clear. He does not have a right to the use of the name. The believer does not have a right to the use of the name. The name belongs to the believer. The believer does not have a right to the use of Jesus' name. The name belongs to him. The believer owns the name of Jesus. That is why Jesus said, in my name they will. In my name they will. Meaning in his name, we can do all he said to do. In his name, we can do all he said to do. In John 14, 12, the greater works are what we do because we are in the name. In John 14, 12, the greater works are what we do because we are in the name. It's our family name. And it belongs to us because of the complete work of redemption that Christ has done. It's our family name, the name of Jesus. It belongs to us based on the complete work of redemption of Christ. John 14, 12. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Today we cast out demons. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. We preach the gospel. We speak in tongues in that name. Today we cast out demons. We heal the sick. We raise the dead, we preach the gospel, we speak with tongues in that name. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 to 18. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall. You can take the following examples of where the name was used. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. The lame man at the gate, beautiful. The name of Jesus healed him. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 35. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 35. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 40. Acts 9, 36 to 40. I'll go over it again. Acts 3, 1 to 10. Acts 8, 5 to 7. Acts 9, 32 to 35. Acts 9, 36 to 40. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Luke 18, 1. Ephesians 6, 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Prayer is essential to the Christian life. Luke 18, 1. Ephesians 6, 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. We can also pray and receive in the name. We can pray and receive in the name. We can pray and receive in the name of Jesus. John 16, 23 and 24. John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. It's a talk. Have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Glory to God. We can demand for things to be done in the name. We can demand for things to be done in the name. John 14, 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's a demand, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. The name is now ours. The name of Jesus is now ours, and we can effectively practice the name in all that we do. We can effectively practice the name in all that we do. So when we pray in that name. When we go out, we are in that name. We're always in that name. That name is the authority. That name is the finished work of Christ. And in that name where we are all the time, and in that name which belongs to us all the time, we can effectively exercise the authority of Jesus over sickness, disease, and the circumstances of life. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for this class. Pray for men and women of God here. Thank you for grace. Thank you for the privilege to be called by your name, to belong to the family of God, to own your authority and use it effectively in manifesting your power on the earth. So I pray that revelation knowledge grows in the hearts of your people. I ask that the eyes of each one's understanding continually is enlightened, that each one of you is filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I call you fruitful unto every good work. Ministry finds expression in you. Ministry finds expression through you. I decree that supernaturally, you begin to walk in the authority that is yours. You begin to see yourself effectively carrying out the work of ministry, manifesting the power of God, setting the captives free, healing the sick, preaching the gospel with power, not with enticing words of men's wisdom, and bringing men to the knowledge of Christ. Grace is granted you. You have sufficiency in all things. You are an able minister of the New Testament, not of the letter that killeth, but of the Spirit that giveth life. You are kept, you are preserved, and you will fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Not in missing, not in lacking, not in broken. It is well with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Assignment quickly. Assignment for today's class. Why and what can I use the name of Jesus for? Why and what can I use the name of Jesus for? Why and what can I use the name of Jesus for? All assignments are due Wednesday midnight. Why and what can I use the name of Jesus for? Glory to God.